On radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio.
This is SBS World News Radio. I'm Greg Dyatt.
And I'm Michael Tomalaris. Coming up tonight, Bill Shorten says Labor will oppose any attempts to delay the introduction of same-sex marriage.
We will not support delay installing, and we are not interested in extending discrimination against gay and lesbian Australians. They've been through enough in this very difficult survey.
Also tonight, food delivery drivers risking their lives by riding their push bikes through underground tunnels.
The rise of home delivery via bicycles has really caused a lot of this increase over the last few months, but we're definitely seeing it on a weekly basis.
And almost 200 nations are meeting in Germany to negotiate the introduction of the Paris Climate Agreement.
All those stories and more coming up in the next 30 minutes.
Good evening. It's 6 o'clock with the news. I'm Mike Tomalaris. Opposition leader Bill Shorten is warning opponents of same-sex marriage in the federal parliament not to try and unnecessarily delay its becoming law. After the yes votes win in the same-sex marriage survey, debate has begun in the Senate on the same-sex marriage legislation. Much of the debate concerns amendments that might be made to the legislation, which was introduced by Liberal Party Senator Dean Smith. Mr. Shorten says Labor has few amendments it wants to make, but is willing to listen to others who have suggested amendments such as those concerning the protection of religious freedom. But he says amendments can't be used as an excuse to further drag out the process of making same-sex marriage a reality.
The Smith bill was actually the result of a cross-Senate committee. Labor will look at any amendments which the right wing of the Liberal Party or others move, but we put these people on notice. We will not support delay installing, and we are not interested in extending discrimination against gay and lesbian Australians. They've been through enough in this very difficult survey, and I think that now's the time for us to get on, do marriage equality.
In the Senate, Senator Smith is describing the bill he's introduced as fair.
This bill seeks to remove existing discrimination from the Marriage Act, protect religious institutions, and does not reintroduce commercial discrimination. Let me be clear. Amendments which seek to deny gay and lesbian Australians with the full rights, responsibilities, and privileges that they already have will be strenuously opposed. The change proposed in this bill is not revolutionary, it is evolutionary.
The bill has cross-party support, and Labor Senator Penny Wong has urged swift action.
Australians have made their views clear and they want everyone to be treated equally before the law. The Australian people have done their part, and now it is our turn as parliamentarians to do ours.
In football, Socceroos coach Ange Postecoglou will decide by the end of the month whether he'll lead the team to next year's World Cup in Russia. He says he'll sit down with Football Federation Australia chairman Stephen Lowy and CEO David Gallop to sort out his future. Celebrations are continuing after the Socceroos sealed their spot at the World Cup with a 3-1 victory over Honduras, in which captain Mile Jedinak scored all three of their goals. The team has celebrated with fans and dignitaries in Martin Place in central Sydney today. The congratulations for the team are coming right from the top, with the nation's leader, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, paying tribute to the team's leader.
Mile Jedinak, the captain, 3 goals. 3 goals. That's the captain's knock. The captain knocked 3 times. Great job, Socceroos. On to the World Cup, on to Russia, on to victory. Good luck.
And the field is now complete for the 2018 World Cup. Peru has clinched the 32nd and final spot at next year's tournament with a 2-0 victory over New Zealand in Lima. It's the first time Peru has qualified for the World Cup since 1982. The draw for the tournament will be held in Moscow next month. Australia's unemployment rate is at its lowest level in nearly 5 years. The latest figures have the national rate at 5.4%, down from 5.5% the previous month, with 3,700 more people getting jobs in October. Last time the unemployment rate was that low was February of 2013. But concerns continue, including from opposition leader Bill Shorten, that many Australians are underemployed. That is, they are getting some work, but not as much as they need. Concerns also continue about low wages growth for those who do have a job. A Leonardo da Vinci painting of Jesus Christ has sold for a record sum in New York. The painting entitled Salvador Mundi, or Saviour of the World, has been auctioned for $590 million Australian dollars to an unknown purchaser. It was sold for $400 million US dollars, but including the buyer's commission, the overall price goes above $450 US dollars. And that's more than double the previous record price. Here is the moment Christie's Auction House officially sold the painting.
Thank you all for your bidding here and on the telephone to my left. And of course here, Loic and Francois. It is with Alex Rotter at $400 million. Leonardo Salvator Mundi selling here at Christie's. $400 million is the bid and the piece is sold.
Big bucks indeed. And now a look at tomorrow's weather. In Perth, showers possible, late storm, 25 degrees. In Adelaide, a shower or two, 21. Melbourne, a shower or two, 24. In Hobart, an early shower or two, 25. In Canberra, showers, 22. In Sydney, showers, 24. Brisbane, partly cloudy, 27. And Darwin, a shower or two, a possible storm, 33. And Greg, more on these stories coming up on SBS World News at 6:30 tonight.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Right across Australia, this is SBS World News Radio, 7 past 6. Well, debate on a bill to legalise same-sex marriage has begun in the Senate as Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten push to change the Marriage Act before Parliament rises for Christmas. Nearly 62% of those who voted in the postal survey chose to legalise same-sex marriage, with the yes vote winning a majority in every state and territory. The upper house has spent most of the day debating potential amendments to Senator Dean Smith's bill to legalise same-sex marriage. Here's Peggy Giacomellis.
The gay Liberal senator behind the same-sex marriage bill never believed his relationship would have equal recognition. Dean Smith was embraced by politicians from all sides after his speech today, the first in the parliamentary debate on legislation to allow same-sex marriage. Senator Smith, who is also a Christian, told the chamber he understood the concerns of religious Australians who objected to same-sex marriage, but describes the bill he's introduced as fair.
This bill seeks to remove existing discrimination from the Marriage Act, protect religious institutions, and does not reintroduce commercial discrimination. Let me be clear. Amendments which seek to deny gay and lesbian Australians with the full rights, responsibilities, and privileges that they already have will be strenuously opposed. The change proposed in this bill is not revolutionary, it is evolutionary.
The bill has cross-party support and Labor Senator Penny Wong has urged swift action.
Australians have made their views clear and they want everyone to be treated equally before the law. The Australian people have done their part and now it is our turn as parliamentarians to do ours.
Victorian Greens Senator Janet Rice says the Greens want Australia to replace a patchwork of anti-discrimination laws as recommended by the United Nations. Despite this, she says the Greens will fight to see it become law regardless.
The Greens support the call of the UN Human Rights Committee, but that is not for this week. And achieving marriage equality does not have to wait for this reform. It's way past time for waiting.
But in some electorates, it was a resounding no rather than yes, particularly in some Labor-held seats in Western Sydney. Seats such as Watson, McMahon, Werriwa and Fowler all recorded over 60% votes for the no case. The seat of Blaxland in Western Sydney recorded the nation's highest no vote at 74%. It's been partly attributed to high levels of religious belief amongst those of multicultural backgrounds in the area. Labor front bench member for Blaxland, Jason Clare, told Sky News he'll still vote in favour of same-sex marriage in Parliament despite his electorate's vote.
I think most people, when it comes to a general election, will vote on lots of different things, everything from health to education to jobs, traffic congestion, whether they like Malcolm Turnbull or Bill Shorten better. You can't take any of this for granted. I've just got to continue to do my job as a local member and try and deliver for my local community.
Conservative MPs will attempt to negotiate various religious protections into the Smith Bill after Senator James Patterson dropped his plan to introduce a rival bill. Attorney General George Brandis says he would support an amendment that allowed civil celebrants as well as religious celebrants to refuse to marry same-sex couples. Debate is likely to be heated, with Parliament sitting hours extended until 11pm on the night of Tuesday, November the 27th. But debate could also stretch well into the night of Thursday, November the 30th.
Peggy Giacomellis, and as we heard in that report, the spotlight has now turned on the few electorates where the majority of the constituents voted no. Here's Michelle Rimmer.
Australia has had its say on legalising same-sex marriage. 80% of eligible Australians voted in the postal survey. Of that, more than 61% said yes. But a day after the result, it's clear that not all communities feel the same. More than 12.7 million people voted across 150 federal electorates. 133 of those seats voted yes, 17 said no. 13 of the electorates with a majority no vote were in Western Sydney. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says the conservative views held by some religious groups may explain the trend.
In some of those seats, you've got a very big Muslim community who are very, very conservative on issues like this, very little support for same-sex marriage.
Fahad Ali is a Muslim man who also advocates for marriage equality. He says the two aren't mutually exclusive and that religion isn't to blame.
If you look at Blaxland, which had the highest no vote in, I believe, the country, you see that, 30% of people there are Muslim and the majority of them aren't Muslim.
He believes a lack of campaigning by same-sex marriage advocates in Western Sydney is behind the higher rates of no votes in the area.
Unfortunately, the Yes campaign, it didn't really go into Western Sydney. It didn't really build in diverse communities out west. And the consequence of that is that they voted no.
Dr. Linda Bartholomew is Chief Operating Officer of AIMS, a Melbourne-based organisation that advocates on behalf of migrants. She says newly arrived migrants of different backgrounds form a significant portion of the electorates that voted against same-sex marriage.
I don't think they're necessarily making a comment about same-sex marriage. I think they're making a comment about where they have been, what their cultural experience has been, what their religious experience has been, and where they feel comfortable.
According to some economists, once the same-sex marriage bill passes Parliament, it will not only boost morale, but also the economy. Same-sex marriage is expected to generate $500 million to $1 billion for the wedding industry and associated businesses. Jenny Punch from Vision in White, a bridal boutique in the heart of Parramatta, says orders for same-sex couples planning to marry are already coming in.
I'm very excited about it. In fact, we've had two phone calls this morning booking themselves in for their new suits for their weddings in March and April. So it's already starting.
Jenny Punch ending that story by Michelle Rimmer. Still to come tonight, efforts underway in Germany to flesh out the implementation of the Paris Climate Agreement.
Climate change is, as you all know, a vital question which decides the well-being of all of us, and it specifically decides if, for example, people will be able to live on the Pacific Islands in the future.
That story coming up. 16 past 6. There are growing demands for food delivery services to improve the safety training standards for its couriers. Cyclists have been captured on security videos breaking the law and at times doing it unknowingly in Sydney. And critics have warned that international students are most at risk. Omar Dabaj has the story.
SBS has obtained exclusive footage of delivery workers illegally using Sydney's busy road tunnel system. One of the videos shows a food courier on a bicycle caught on the Eastern Distributor in the Central Business District, holding up traffic and narrowly avoiding being hit. Appearing to look lost as cars swerve past him, the man is shown trying to hail a ride before police finally pick him up. In the same two-week period in the same tunnel, a cyclist from food delivery service Foodora takes the same hair-raising route. Despite an 80-kilometre speed limit and no cycle lane, he passes through. And on another occasion at night, two cyclists struggle to leave the tunnel, forced to push their bikes to the side and walk out. Australia's largest private toll road operator, Transurban, is alarmed. Christine Cooney, Transurban's Group General Manager for New South Wales, explains it's a growing problem.
The rise of home delivery via bicycles has really caused a lot of this increase over the last few months, but we're definitely seeing it on a weekly basis.
Demand for food delivery apps such as Foodora, Uber Eats and Deliveroo have skyrocketed this year. Tony Sheldon, the National Secretary for the Transport Workers Union, says thousands of couriers are contracted nationwide.
We're seeing no or little explanation of road rules, very little in the way of inductions. Whilst we've got courier companies such as Tolls in the courier parcel industry that spend 3 days inducting new employees in bicycle courier work.
Dr. Alex Veen from the University of Sydney is co-authoring a national study into the food delivery sector. After interviewing 50 cyclists, he found a considerable proportion are from overseas.
We found that at least 46 of them were either international students or working holiday makers who were here in Australia for a short period of time. It wouldn't surprise me if it does happen occasionally that riders end up in these sort of circumstances because of a lack of familiarity with the rules and the roads here in Australia.
Uber Eats cyclist Mohammed is an Indian international student. He says while he obeys the law, he's seen many others break it.
Some students, they don't follow the rules and they go on wrong way and they will be in very much dangerous for their lives.
In statements, the three major food delivery services have all said safety is paramount. Deliveroo says new riders are taught about road rules and other factors like weather conditions. Uber Eats says it provides tips from government agencies as soon as couriers sign up, while Foodora added it has a safe riding policy which all contractors are required to follow, which are also required to pass a safety test. Regardless, Dr. Veen says he wants standards to improve.
Further opportunities for training before they get onto the roads might be one way to raise the safety of these particular riders.
Tony Sheldon says the union is building cases against what it calls exploitative companies.
We've seen example after example where injuries are occurring, where people are being put into danger and life-threatening situations because of these companies wanting to make a buck.
Transurban's Christine Cooney also warns cyclists they need to learn the rules of the road to know where they can and cannot travel.
You may not be familiar with Sydney streets. You may think that you're entering a safe situation, but tunnels are an absolute no-go zone for cyclists.
Christine Cooney from Transurban, ending that report by Omar DeBarge. Coming up a little later, celebrating Pacific Islander culture in Perth.
Strong women raising stronger girls, you know, stronger daughters. And once you raise a generation of strong women, like, then you have leaders like Jacinda Ardern, elected to be the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
But to Germany now at 20 past six, and almost 200 nations are meeting in that country to nail down the details of implementing the Paris Agreement aimed at curbing global temperature rises. Germany and France's leaders have made strong political statements at the beginning of the crucial high-level discussions of the United Nations Climate Conference. Rosemary Bolger reports.
For Fijian boy Timothy Nalusala, the impact of climate change is close to home.
Early in 2016, we were hit by one of the strongest cyclones ever struck Fiji, the strongest in the southern hemisphere. My home, my school, our source of food, water, money was totally destroyed. My life was in chaos.
The 12-year-old was speaking to world leaders who have arrived in Bonn, Germany, for the final 2 days of the UN climate conference known as COP23.
Ladies and gentlemen, speeches and tasks will not solve the problem, but walk the talk is more effective. Let's change our mindset and set a platform in combating this environmental issue for our next generation. We need to prepare ourselves. Safety precaution has to be adopted and followed to keep us safe.
Delegates to the summit, including Australia's Environment Minister Josh Frydenberg, must finalise the details of implementing the landmark Paris Agreement. In 2015, nations made commitments to reduce greenhouse emissions to limit global temperature rises to 1.5 or 2 degrees. German Chancellor Angela Merkel was one of several world leaders who had a strong message for delegates.
We are all assembled here because we are facing one of, if not the main challenge of mankind. Climate change is, as you all know, a vital question which decides the well-being of all of us, and it specifically decides if, for example, people will be able to live on the Pacific Islands in the future.
Zum Beispiel auf den Pazifikinseln leben können.
She said even a wealthy country like Germany was divided on the subject of climate change, requiring tough discussions.
Wir wissen, dass Deutschland als ein Land, das noch in
We know that Germany is a country that still uses a large amount of coal, and that coal industries, and particularly brown coal, have to contribute significantly to fulfill these goals. How exactly we achieve this, we will discuss very precisely in the next few days.
French President Emmanuel Macron told the meeting France aimed to close down all coal-fired power plants by 2021 as part of action to limit greenhouse gas emissions. Earlier in the year, the United States withdrew from the Paris Agreement, but Mr. Macron urged Europe to step up in its place, particularly when it comes to funding for the UN's Climate Science Panel.
Le GIEC est une des composantes majeures.
Under threat from the United States' decision to not guarantee its funding, I would therefore like Europe to stand in the place of the Americans, and I want to tell you here that France will not take a back seat.
Se substitue aux Américains, et je veux ici vous dire que la France sera au rendez-vous.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres welcomed Mr. Macron's comments, saying it was vital that the commitment made in Paris of $200 billion a year for developing countries from 2020 be respected. But Mr. Guterres' overall outlook was grim. With emissions rising for the first time in 3 years, he said there's an added urgency to implement the deal.
It is very clear that we are not on track to make the engagements made in Paris be implemented. And the engagements made in Paris are not enough for the objective that in Paris was established to make sure that climate change will not lead to an increase in temperature over 1.5 degrees.
Countries have agreed to undertake a global stocktake next year to assess their progress on meeting their carbon reduction commitments.
Rosemary Bolger reporting there. The latest statistics show that nearly twice as many people identify as having Pacific Islander ancestry in Australia than they did a decade ago. And while the majority of the 200,000 Pacific community resides in Queensland, Western Australia is also home to a large proportion. But as Kyle Brown reports, Pacifica women in Perth didn't have their own cultural event until very recently.
Chorus of Pacific Island women singing songs native to their culture. But we're not at a festival and we're not visiting any of the islands in the Pacific. We're in Morley, a suburb just outside Perth city centre, in a rented hall paid for and decorated by the ladies belonging to Pacifica Women's Perth. The ladies singing are from a table in the middle of the room, sharing their island's culture with the rest of the guests here. It's the second time Miriam Kauhiva has organised this ladies' night, and it all started from a simple question.
It came about from one of our Hall of Fitness dancers exercise program. A couple of the Australian ladies and non-Pacifica were asking me, where are you from? And a couple of us from PNG and other ladies from Samoa and Cook Islands. So I actually said, look, I've got an idea. I think I'm going to put on a cultural night to finish off our year. And that went off really well last year, so I decided to do it again this year.
The event, called Night of Beauty and Culture, welcomes women from across the community to a night of food, drink and performances from the islands of the Pacific. And while it's only a small event with less than 50 attendees, the idea came about when Miriam discovered no one else had done anything similar.
I found that there wasn't anything out there for our Pacific women in Perth, and I wanted to bring them together and set a platform and start doing some workshops and just really sharing our culture.
On both occasions, the event has been a success, with those attending helping to organise everything from food to decorating the venue and performances. From children to grandparents, there's a mix of cultures and backgrounds at each table, including women from backgrounds other than the Pacific. Together, they share in the culture of their friends while having a chance to relax. For some, like Bernie Taufer, it's the first night out she's had in quite some time.
I have personally not been out in like 4 years, and it's fantastic to have an event like tonight. So let your hair down and, you know, like network with other people that you don't normally see.
Bernie owns and runs her own business, and along with her professional and family commitments, she doesn't have much time to herself. But while this night is an evening for relaxing, work is still a factor for her.
I've never met another Islander in business in Perth, but, you know, being in business, these people are customers to the business that I operate. It's fantastic to mingle with my own customers. I see these people every weekend coming into the shop buying food because it's a taste of home for everybody.
After an opening prayer is said, everyone gets the chance to experience the flavours of home, with home-cooked dishes from across the Pacific on offer for all to try. And sharing that meal helps bring a feeling of community to those who've left their homelands.
It's bringing the women together so they feel supported and they have that peer relation with each other from different islands.
Jo Gray helped MC the event, kicking the night off with plenty of laughter while talking about the importance of reaching out to the Pacifica community in Perth.
They become quite isolated living and working in Perth and away from their home countries, so it's really important that they come together and they share culture, celebrate culture, in particular celebrate being a Pacific woman, you know, because it does get quite challenging when you don't have your own community around you.
And while the event is about women coming together for a good night, it's also a chance to encourage the next generation. Bernie Taufer wants more young Pacifica women to embrace their culture of strong women and succeed where others haven't.
The island women, they're natural born leaders, and I think a lot of emphasis is placed on the men. Like, men are fantastic, they're breadwinners, they're protectors, but the women are nurturers. Strong women raising stronger girls, you know, stronger daughters. And once you raise a generation of strong women, like, then you have leaders like Jacinda Ardern, elected to be the Prime Minister of New Zealand. It's all about nurturing the generations before us so they too can become strong and go on to do bigger and better things in life.
And that story from Kyle Brown in Perth. Time to check the news headlines now. Opposition leader Bill Shorten is warning opponents of same-sex marriage in the federal parliament not to try to unnecessarily delay it becoming law. In football, Socceroos coach Ange Postecoglou will decide by the end of the month whether he'll lead the team to next year's World Cup in Russia. And a Leonardo da Vinci painting of Jesus Christ has sold for a record sum in New York. The painting, entitled Salvador Mundi, has been auctioned for $590 million to an unknown purchaser. Well, that's SBS World News Radio for now. You can see SBS World News across Australia on your TV. And if you're not near a TV, you can live stream the bulletin right now by going to sbs.com.au/news. There you'll find all our stories and news features. You can also follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle at SBS News, and on Facebook. Get our stories in your news feed by liking our page, SBS World News. I'm Greg Dyett. Thanks for listening.